Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Today we continue our study on the broad subject of messianic prophecy in the Bible. Messianic prophecy, which foretells the coming of Messiah, and those prophecies finding their historical fulfillment in one person, Jesus of Nazareth. We've looked at prophecies concerning Messiah's death here recently, and now we concentrate our focus of study on the clear prophecies of Messiah's resurrection from the dead. This is a physical resurrection from the dead, not some spiritual resurrection of his message, not some cognitive resurrection of one's mind and consciousness as the memory of Jesus lives on in the minds of the disciples, and they then spoke of resurrection under this rubric. Not at all. Those are the liberal and irresponsible theories of the unbelievers, both within and without the church, that cannot accept the physical, tangible, and material resurrection of Jesus' body back from the dead. A resurrection that was permanent in nature. Biblical Judaism and Christianity as well, one of the central tenets of their faith, or faiths, I should say, to be grammatically correct, since we're talking about two different types of faiths, both of their faiths hold to the resurrection of the dead. Now, when we connect the New Testament with the Old Testament, we, according to the nature of progressive revelation, get a more clearer view of the order and arrangement of the resurrection from the dead in the New Testament. There will be two resurrections. The first resurrection began with the resurrection of Messiah Jesus. As Paul tells us, he was the first of many more to be raised. Hence, he's called the first fruits of them that sleep in 1 Corinthians 15:20. And the next phase of the first resurrection will occur with the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. The dead in Christ, those who have believed upon Christ from Pentecost until the end of this present church age, they will be raised first. And then the believers who are still alive at that time, they will be miraculously and supernaturally transformed from a living state to an immortal state. And they will join in the air with the dead Christians who have been raised seconds before them to meet the Lord in the air. Then the last phase of the first resurrection will occur at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. This will happen with the resurrection of the Old Testament saints and the tribulation saints who were martyred during this 7-year period of the tribulation, known also as Daniel's 70th week. And that will conclude the first resurrection of the dead, which is called the resurrection of the just by Jesus. Then there will be the 1,000-year reign of Messiah on the earth. He will rule and reign over the world from Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. Then at the end of this 1,000-year reign, we have the second resurrection of the dead, which will involve all the unsaved, and they will be raised and stand before the Judge Jesus at the great white throne judgment. They will be judged according to their works, which their unbelief produced, and they will be found guilty and be cast into the lake of fire. This will conclude the second resurrection. And it all started. The resurrection phase, program, and acts of God started with the resurrection of Jesus. And again, this was not an event that just popped up and happened without precedent in the New Testament. No, it was long foretold by the prophets in the Old Testament. The Messiah would conquer death, though he would die. He would not remain dead, but he would conquer death. And that's good news. Gospel means good news. The good news is that man does not have to be intimidated and oppressed by the fear of death. And the reason, two reasons why death is such a frightful prospect for every human being. Two reasons. Number one, we do not know by experience what follows death. We only have been given accounts, theories, and even testimonies from people who have experienced near-death experience. NDEs, they call them. But those of us who are alive don't know what death entails. It's an unknown. And we often fear that which is unknown. Secondly, death is the end of our earthly life. It is the termination of our existence on this planet. That is a terrifying prospect when you just sit down and really think about it. But that can be good, because then it can drive us to ask ultimate questions that lie beyond our mortal existence on this earth. What happens after death? Is there a way out of death? Is there an answer to this perennial problem? And the answer, of course, is yes. With the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, God has answered, given us an answer to the problem of death, and that is we can survive death, we can have eternal life, we can have a new, resurrected, immortal, incorruptible, glorified body by placing our trust in the Redeemer who has conquered death for us and wields power over it. So the resurrection of the dead was not something strange to first century Israel during the time of Jesus. No, it was a well-established belief, particularly in Judaism, with the Parashim, the Pharisees. Though millions and millions, and untold millions, throughout the centuries have believed that Jesus did physically rise from the dead, there are those in his time and today who simply deny the resurrection. In Jesus' day, it would be the religious faction called the Sadducees. They did not believe in the resurrection, and Jesus told them they were in error for that false belief. Because again, it contradicts the Word of God. On this issue, the Parashim, the Pharisees, were right. When Paul stood on trial for his ministry, he stood before the Roman governor and King Herod Agrippa. He asked the king, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Acts 26:8. Think about it. If God is all-powerful, he would then have to exercise power over death in a way that makes death a nullity and is no longer existent. And that would be by resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus the Messiah was prophesied and foretold in the Old Testament, going back as even far back to the oldest book of the Bible written, the book of Job. We have a clear prophecy of the book of Job, which was probably written during the patriarchal period in biblical times, much further back than the Torah itself was written. But even in the earliest book, the book of Job, we have a clear prophecy about the resurrection of the Messiah and his power and ability to resurrect those who claim him as Redeemer. We'll look at that in a little bit. But in order for Christianity to be true, and therefore the claims of Jesus to be Lord, Master, Messiah, and God, the resurrection had to have happened. If the resurrection is anything less, then the Christian faith is a hoax, and the claims of Jesus are indeed the greatest lie and counterfeit the world has ever seen. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, when he states, if Messiah Jesus be not raised from the dead, then your faith is futile, it's vain, it's useless, it's meaningless. And both critics and adherents of the Christian faith know and understand this essential truth. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then our faith is futile, and we are still yet in the power and penalty. We're still under the power and penalty of sin. 1 Corinthians 15:17. When we look at the eyewitness accounts of the resurrection, and they are nothing, they are no less than this. They're not simple tales spun by hearsay or wish fulfillment or mythical embellishment, as the liberal unbelieving critic would have us to believe. No, they are eyewitness accounts. Eyewitness accounts that bear the historical testimony of this epical event, namely that Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. He was buried in a new tomb, Joseph's tomb, in the garden. And 3 days later, after his entombment, Jesus the Messiah rose again. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:4. Now that's interesting. Paul said that Yeshua the Messiah rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. The Scriptures at this time when Paul wrote the Corinthians was not the New Testament Scriptures, simply because the New Testament canon was still being written by the apostles, and therefore it was not complete. No, Paul's alluding to the Old Testament Scriptures that clearly predict Messiah would rise from the dead. Something which Jesus continually predicted during his 3-year ministry in Israel. He continually told his disciples and those that followed him that he would be put to death, and then on the third day, he would rise again. Keep in mind that when Jesus did claim that he would rise from death and conquer forever thereafter the power of death, keep in mind that when he made this claim, like all his claims, he never made empty claims to supernatural power or the ability to perform the miraculous. When he always made a supernatural claim, that is Jesus, he always backed it up. He proved it. He substantiated it by performing a miracle. For example, when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," in John 6, he proved it by performing the miraculous multiplication of the loaves and fishes to feed 5,000 from a child's lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. He proved it. When Yeshua, again in John's Gospel, said, "I am the light of the world," he proved that claim He proved that claim when he said, I am the light of the world. When he healed the man that was born blind in John chapter 9. It's one thing to say this, then it's another thing to prove it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light, the light of life. When Jesus said in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life, he proved that claim by when he raised Lazarus from the dead after Lazarus' body was already decaying, decomposing in the tomb for 4 days. You would think by demonstrating his power to conquer death, in this instance, that when he prophesied his own resurrection, the disciples would have readily believed Jesus, but they did not. The resurrection of Messiah Jesus, as predicted by Jesus, was an accomplishment and, moreover, a fulfillment of Old Testament type and prophecy. Such a revelation beforehand of that which was to come to pass was a irrefutable, powerful accomplishment to give faith for those who looked for the coming of the Messiah to redeem them. And in the Old Testament, we have occurrences of the miracles of resurrection. Remember, Elisha performed for the dead child what was forecast of Christ's similar miracle. They both raised children from the dead. The miracle at the tomb of Elisha also foreshadows the resurrection. Bones of the prophet raised one who had died. Then, the oldest known prophecy about the Redeemer's power to resurrect from the dead is found in the book of Job. Job 19, verses 25 through 27. It's an amazing prophecy of resurrection here. Resurrection that's directly associated with the Messiah who is called Redeemer. Job says here, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. Or, in the Hebrew, it literally reads, and he shall stand in the last day on the earth. Verse 26 of Job 19. And after my skin is destroyed, so after the body, the flesh on the body is decayed in the tomb by death, Job is saying, yet, he goes on to say, in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. This amazing prophecy tells us that Job knew death was near. In fact, he thought he was going to die because of his affliction. And in light of that, in spite of that, his Redeemer would vindicate him in the glory of a physical resurrection, in which he would enjoy perfect fellowship with the Redeemer. That Redeemer is Jesus Christ. And here we have a clear message of the Gospel. The oldest book written in the Bible, the book of Job, has a clear prophecy to the Redeemer and his power to resurrect all those who trust in him. And Job personalizes that experience for himself when, after he is dead and his flesh long decayed in the tomb, but in the last day the Redeemer will come, raise Job up, restore his physical body as it was before in life, and he will look with his own eyes, visibly and physically, to the one, the Redeemer, who will raise Job from the dead. What a prophecy. And what great faith Job had in spite of his great trials. And that's what you and I can do also, like Job, beloved. When we look into the ugly specter of our own mortality and death, should the Lord tarry and the rapture does not occur in our lifetime, we too, with Job, can know that the Redeemer has conquered death for us. When he stepped out of that tomb on Sunday morning, the first day of the Feast of First Fruits, we know that we can face death and realize it has been rendered powerless, because the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life," has vanquished death itself for us. Another great prophecy about Messiah's resurrection, Psalm 16:10. You will, the Messiah, speaking through David, says, "You will not leave my soul in hell, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Simon Peter quotes this prophecy to show it was fulfilled by the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah when he preached to the Jews of Jerusalem and the Jews of the diaspora on Shavuot, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2. Notice here Messiah is saying, through David, 1,000 years before the resurrection of Jesus fulfilled this prophecy, he's saying, "You will not leave my spirit in Sheol." Now here is another clear prophecy and statement of truth in Scripture that refutes the false doctrine of soul sleep, which teaches that when we die, we stay unconscious in the tomb. No, the soul, when it leaves the body, exists in a conscious and knowing way, either in heaven or hell. Sheol here is the Hebrew word for the place of the departed dead, where their spirits go after death. God would not allow the soul of His Son, the Messiah, to remain there, nor would He allow Him to see the decay and decomposition of death that ravages the corpse once dead. No, He would raise this Holy One, this Messiah, from death, and He would not see the corruption and decay of death. Resurrection is promised in Isaiah 26:19. "Thy dead men shall live together, and they shall arise." Psalm 33, again, our soul will not remain in an intermediate state after death. No, God will raise our bodies up and join our departed souls with it at the resurrection. This was the promise and anticipation the psalmist speaks of when he says, "O Lord, You have brought up my soul from the grave." Psalm 30, verse 3. Daniel also foretold the resurrection of the Old Testament saints at the conclusion of the tribulation period. Daniel 12:2. "Them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." And in Hosea 6:2, the resurrection process that will begin the first resurrection will occur on a third day. In the third day, He will raise us up and we will live in His sight. Now, why is He speaking in the plural here? Again, because Jesus is our corporate head. He is the Redeemer of the redeemed, and He identifies with us. So He suffered death and tasted death for all of us, and when He rose again, it's proof that God will raise us up with Him to live with Him in the end. And that began on the third day after Messiah was in the tomb. He rose again. Jesus reminded the Sadducees in Matthew 22 that God is not the God of the dead, those who have ceased to exist after their bodies die and lose life. No, He told them God is the God, is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Jesus in John 5 said that the Father, God the Father, has given Him authority to raise the dead. John 5:28, "All that are in the grave shall hear his voice, the voice of God the Son. And Jesus goes on to say in John 6, 40, verse 40 and 54, I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection and conducted a post-resurrection ministry, if you will, with his disciples. Acts 1:3 tells us that Jesus showed himself alive after his passion or his crucifixion, his death. So again, the resurrection of the dead was not a strange or novel doctrine introduced in the New Testament. No, it was anticipated and foretold in the Hebrew Bible, in the Tanakh, in the Jewish Bible. The truth of the bodily resurrection is also seen in the Old Testament, with the translation of Enoch. This was to show the antediluvian world that God conquers the grim reality and power of death with resurrection. There are three bodily inhabitants in heaven. Only three. Because all the departed spirits of the redeemed do not have a body. They are in what's called the intermediate state in heaven. I refer you to Luke 19:16-31 on that truth. Anyway, there are three in heaven who now have a physical body. They are not there in the intermediate state of the soul. We have Enoch. He was the first one. He was translated. He did not see death, but he was caught up into heaven. This occurred before the law. Then we have Elijah. Elijah was carried up by the whirlwind and the fiery chariots. This was the second person caught up physically to heaven under the law. And then we have Jesus the Messiah. He was resurrected and ascended to heaven under the gospel. Now there is a difference in the form of these three translations or being caught up to heaven. Jesus Christ himself, he raised himself to and above the heavens by his own immediate power. He ascended as the Son, whereas Enoch and Elijah as servants. Elijah ascended by the visible ministry of angels. Enoch was caught up at God's invitation because he pleased God. Jesus said as much in John 3, John chapter 3, when he said, "No man goes up to heaven. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man." Some people try to say, well, that contradicts the fact that Enoch and Elijah were caught up to heaven. And Jesus is saying here, no man was caught up to heaven. In the Greek text there, what Jesus is saying, the original reading is that no one has ascended to heaven by his own power, except Jesus himself. That's true, because Enoch and Elijah did not translate themselves up to heaven by their own power. No, God brought them to heaven by his power. Jesus was the only one who ascended to heaven by his own power. Only he had the power and authority to come from heaven and then go back to heaven. All made possible by his resurrection from the dead. When the rapture of the church occurs, and the dead in Christ are raised, and then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them, we too will be caught up to heaven to partake in the marriage supper of the church and her Redeemer. All made possible by the resurrection of Jesus the Messiah from the dead. His resurrection guarantees the believer's permanent resurrection and irreversible victory over death. Good news indeed. We will look more at the prophetic scriptures about Messiah's resurrection and the fulfillment in Jesus next time we are with you. Until then, Shalom. Yeshua HaMashiach Aleichem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.